It is the People Show. Let's bring in our next guest. Joins us weekly, Canucks insider at The Province. It is Patrick Johnston. What's up, PJ?
Gentlemen, how are we doing? Beautiful day.
Yep.
Can't complain.
Nope.
You know? Can't have to go play hockey. So, you know.
It's and clearly you're on father duties right now as well, which is also good.
Yeah, it's well, you guys will learn this has occasionally happened. Children want to make an appearance, so
it's all good. It's the People Show. They're welcome.
Exactly.
It's so JT Miller, like all right, just what was your immediate reaction to JT Miller just going off today?
Well, you know, I mean, it was a passionate thing that needed to be said. I think, you know, I think as others have noted, it shouldn't just be him. You know, it sort of speaks to the situation overall that's been going on all season, is that, you know, the guys who are actually doing the work have been having to do all the speaking. And, you know, it is important that he presented what it is that the players are feeling. People need to hear that. You know, the feedback, I think, you know, you hear on social media, which obviously isn't everything, but you hear, you know, a lot of people who get what you're saying, but then you always end up with the noisemakers who I think are just there to make noise, but they try to say, well, what do you guys know? And it's like, well, actually, we know a lot, but if you really don't believe us, here you go. And, you know, in the end, it is far more important to hear from the primary source. And so that, you know, that was important, I think, to hear. I do find myself wondering if that's going to shift some of the background dialogue more, I think, in the direction everyone feels it should go. Certainly, you know, I think it puts pressure now on ownership, on management as well, to stand up and really explain why this is happening. Because Miller himself said, look, get real, you know, that there is no playoff chase here. You know, they knew it even go, you know, they knew beforehand there was still always a hope, right? We've talked about that before. There's always, what else are you going to do? You want to have that hope. But there's no hope now. So what's the point? I think we all know the point is dollars and cents. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not on him to say that. He's being asked to do his job. He's showing up. But, you know, at risk of personal safety, you know, he highlighted that. There's guys that have gone through a lot. There's guys that, you know, aren't going to be able to put in what they normally would put in, even if they were healthy. Playing three games in four nights after having not skated for 2.5 weeks is ridiculous. That's not something anyone can do, let alone someone as, you know, well-toned, well-built as a professional hockey player. And that to me, you know, that's what stands out here. In the end, this is a guy who knows. He knows what it takes. There's a reason why you have training camp in preseason. We've talked about this already this year. And now they're not even going to have that. They're just going to be thrown into the fire basically to fulfill rights contracts and sponsorship deals. And that's where we're at.
So what is the outcome from what JT Miller said? Like my question here is, I'm not expecting the PA and the NHL to all of a sudden go like, oh my goodness, JT Miller spoke. We got to readdress what we're doing. How much of this is also directed at, you guys got to take care of us as an organization, whether that's resting them on back-to-backs or how you play these games. I'm not saying you're going to throw these hockey games, but there has to be an approach to it where it's like, we're putting your health and safety first. And if that means we dress a roster on a back-to-back that's going to get absolutely throttled, so be it, because we don't care about the results. We care about your health and safety. Is that part of the message?
Well, I guess, but it's pretty hard. I mean, this isn't like a Premier League team where you got two full squads of players, right? Like, Dan, you can tell us all about that, what the rich teams in Europe are able to do, why they're able to compete in the domestic league and in the Champions Leagues, because they have, you know, basically two full 11s of players and more. Like, the Vancouver Canucks are going to be able to draw on, you know, I mean, I was trying to do the math, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 more skaters, maybe, and that's assuming everyone's able to play. You know, it's not like you're swapping full lineups in and out every night, right? Like, there's going to be guys that are going to be put under huge pressure. You know, the physical demands of playing hockey are really hard. They're hard enough in a normal season. There's a reason why those guys eat everything they eat after every game, because they're simply just trying to catch up on the caloric deficit that they're dealing with. And then there's recovery with, you know, your muscles. Your muscles actually need time to recover. It's just simple physiology. It's not a question of how hard or tough they are. You know, so I hope fans understand this, because it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a difficult ride. Mm-hmm. You know, they might be best off in these first three games just because they won't have completely, blown everything they have in the tank by that point, right? Like, you know, next week, by the end of next week, you know, I find myself wondering to me what even the guys that have been quote unquote rested will have in the tank. You know, it's not going to be pretty. And I don't know what changes behind the scenes. I hope there's more discussion. I've been trying to get something from the NHLPA on the record, but they've been hesitant to do that. And, my tag tweet is my position remains get a union. There's a reason why. Like, my union helped me keep my job and has created work conditions for me that made a difference. I'm not shy about that, and I think it's important to understand that. And for the most part, hockey players have the work conditions that they have because they work together. And this is one of those situations where I think, you know, this is why you have a players association. And I think more needs to be said from them. They obviously are in a difficult financial position because, you know, the fewer games played, the less money comes to the players as a collective. But, you know, at what point do you draw the line and say, you know, these guys being healthy, being, you know, being able to function in their daily lives, deal with their families, and, you know, the most difficult time of any of our lives, you know, what point do you stand up and say, no, we're not doing this. This needs to be different. That's what I hope comes out of this. We'll see.
PJ, there's the long-term view of, you know, do you get the full 56 in? And there's also the short-term look at back-to-back to start off of what they've gone through. And it feels like, this is where I stand on it, it feels like the lingering effects of COVID are being minimized here to a certain degree to have, you know, back-to-back games when they've just gone through that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've had, you know, a few examples, I think, out of guys that have been going through stuff. I think, you know, Brandon Sutter's a player that I think we've heard. I mean, he came off the list, and that's great to hear. That means he cleared medically with the doctors, and, you know, they have to go through a cardiac screen to make sure there's no cardiac swelling. You know, all those guys that came off the list today, that means that they were able to pass all the medical checks. So that's good. But, you know, you think about these guys that have been dealing with that we're dealing with respiratory issues, and, you know, even if they're, you know, cleared to play, you know, they're still fighting against that, you know, and then there's just the reality they haven't skated. You know, there's guys that just got on the ice for the first time today as an individual skate, and then they're going to practice tomorrow and then play, you know, have a morning skate and then be asked to play, like, as you said, two games, two nights. Like, it's crazy. It's just not going to be good. You know, these are guys that are now playing, like, the Edmonton Oilers are fighting for a playoff spot, you know? They've had a week off after being in midseason form. It was funny, JT Miller talked about it today. Like, he said, you know, that week off, he's like, I thought that was great. That was great timing for us. It gave us a break. You know, it was everything we needed. We've been pushing really hard, and we knew that it was going to be a tough challenge, but we felt ready. We felt that would actually give us a chance to actually try to mount the challenge for the playoffs that we knew we needed to do. And, of course, that doesn't matter now, but, you know, you're playing the Oilers, who are trying to fight for a playoff spot, or a position, I should say. And obviously you're playing the Leafs, and we've seen what they've been able to do, you know, earlier this season, just when they were trying to sort of put their foot on the gas. And now they're really in, you know, they're starting to roar towards the playoffs and position themselves for that. It's as tough as it gets. This opposition is not going to be easy.
Go ahead, Sat.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, just looking at what happened with Buffalo, for instance, right? I mean, they missed, what, six games in a row, guys? And then they came back and played back-to-back nights. They played three games in four nights. That's what Bill Daly is pointing towards, that the Buffalo Sabres went through the exact same thing, essentially. I mean, they played pretty much 19 and 31 days, or maybe 32 days. Like, it's not that different with what Buffalo went through, and you saw what a disaster that was.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, it's not without precedent. He's not wrong about that teams have had to come in and not having a ton of entry time. But, you know, I think it's just one of those ones that the context here is, you know, I think it really is different. This is the end of the season. This is a team that's, let's be honest, basically out of playoffs. Like, it's literally going to turn into an exhibition tour. And, you know, that was always at risk of happening anyway. At a certain point when dream is dead, you know, it turns into no hitters. But, you know, 19 games in 31 days for any team isn't fair. It's been signed off before, but I don't know. It just feels different. I get it. I get that, you know, that this isn't the first time, and Bill Daly sort of made that clear. He said that to me when I emailed with him last week, but, you know, it just, you just look at the context of it all. And once it's right in front of you, it, it just seems crazy.
Well, and we don't really have a sense of, you know, what the actual roster is going to look like, who's going to be able to play and who won't.
Hold on, Dan. You can pencil a few things in. Like, we just know straight up from timeline that Schmidt, Virtanen, and I've written his name so many times today. Anyway, those two won't be able to play. We know that much. Yeah. They're not going to be able to play just from timing. Like, they won't be off the list until Saturday or Sunday. You know, that's just how it works. Like, you look at the guys that are still on the list, and Harlock, McEwen, Edler all could have come off the list today or yesterday. You know, basically their cohort of guys have all mostly come off. Chatfield too. You know, there's four guys there. You start going, okay, are they feeling extra effects? Like, what's the story there? I mean, will they even be able to practice tomorrow? You know, like, you just throw them into a practice. You know, you can pencil a few names that aren't going to be there. I guess is what I'm saying. But yeah, you're right. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, well, just how are we going to, you know, because even if, you know, it's a year where you're kind of playing out the string, you know, you're not going to the playoffs, you can at least evaluate some things for the next season.
Yeah.
Take a look at some young players. Like, I don't even think you can really take away much of anything from any of these games.
It's a real challenge. You know, I mean, you and I obviously were going back and forth about this on Monday a little bit about sort of who are the depth guys going to be.
Yeah.
And in a normal year, you know, those would be guys that you want to have a look at. You know, and maybe you'll learn something. You're right. You know, I think it's possible you might still learn a few things about some of these guys. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's 19 games of exhibition hockey. It's just going to be so weird. I mean, some of the games are going to have pep. I don't think there's any doubt about this. These guys are professionals. They care, you know. But, you know, I think about that game in, you know, at the end of the long run there in January when they were in Toronto, and they had nothing. They just were literally a step behind on every play. You know, and I think, unfortunately, we're going to be seeing a lot more of that.
Well, PJ, you know, we've been talking a lot about the players, but when it comes to Travis Green, what do we know about how hard he was hit?
Well, you know, I mean, I texted with him briefly a while back just to say, how are you doing? Hope you're doing okay. And, you know, he suggests he's feeling all right, but, you know, anecdotally, it sounds like, you know, he's been having a rough go. I think, you know, he's in that age bracket where it is tough. You know, he's, you know, in his early 50s, and, you know, it's just not, you know, it's going to be hard, and you can't predict this virus. And so, yeah, we don't know. I don't know. I don't personally know off the top of my head. I know some people have talked about him. Some people have been speculating that, you know, maybe he won't be on the bench on Friday, but I don't think we're really going to have any sense of that until they hit practice tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't be surprised, you know, if there's not a full staff. I mean, we're not going to see a full staff on the roster. So it wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a full staff behind the bench. Let's put it that way.
Well, and that's the big thing too. I mean, you know, it's not only the players, it's also the coaches that have gone through all of this too. And, you know, building this above from the coaches, because the coaching staff thing too, it's a big topic. And one thing Elliot Friedman mentioned, that he heard from another coach, that he thought the Canucks should take care of their coaches considering what they've gone through. And it feels like it's a tough position for these guys to be in. Now, Jim, to his credit, every time we've asked him about this, we asked him about this last week, and he said he wants to bring back all the coaches.
Yeah.
But today, Chris Johnson kind of mentioned the longer this goes, the less likely it is that he does come back. I mean, you and I are under the same understanding here, PJ, that if it was up to management, they probably do get Travis signed. But is this going to change at some point here where that offer gets made that's acceptable? And at that point, will Travis even want to accept it?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I look at the situation here. You know, Jim Benning generally says what he wants to do. He said he wants to sign his coach. He hasn't been able to sign his coach. That, to me, tells a large portion of the story. You know, you don't need to look far from the hockey team to understand how ownership approaches business. And at the end of the day, this has been one of the lower paid coaches in the league, one of the lower paid general managers in the league. And here we are. And I think, you know, you can kind of put that all together and understanding perhaps where this might be heading. I think, you never say never. Like, these things could change. Certainly my impression always been is that, you know, Travis's place he wants to be is coaching here. He's from here. You know, when he was a player, he never got to play here. You know, when he was a coach, he was coaching in Portland. You know, I think it means a lot to him. It means a lot to him that, you know, he gets to represent the place he's from. And, you know, at the same time, though, that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean he's just going to not sort of look after number one. You got to look after number one. You're only coaching in this league for so long. And if you believe that there are other going to be other offers out there, whether that's down the I-5, not too far, or as far south as you can go, closer to where he lives, you know, I think that's going to be in his thinking. I mean, you never want, you know, he himself says he can never speak for his players, right? So I've never deigned to speak for Travis, but I can only speak of sort of the few things I've been able to gather about him. And, you know, the guy wants to be here, but yeah, I mean, I think that's the other thing. That enters into all this. This is the big picture. How you treat your people, especially in times of crisis, speaks a lot. And, you know, if this is a team that wants to keep chasing after, you know, high profile free agents, which has always been something ownership has liked to do, you know, if you really want to be successful in that, they're going to look at how things go here and what the sort of motivations are here and whether players really are being treated like family the way they are in some other organizations. You know, it's not an accident that Blake Wheeler stayed in Winnipeg, right? Like, the Jets recognize that they are in a not very fashionable city, and you better make sure that the players that are here really feel like there's an option to stay here, that there's a reason to stay here, you know? And once upon a time, that was, I think, a guiding light here too. I'm not sure it's anything more than, hey, Vancouver's pretty nice, what do you think? At this point, and you know, the experience that these players are going through now, that's gonna go around the league. And if you want to treat people right, now it's the time to do it.
Well, and even from
the rhetoric has kind of been there with, you know, whether it was Jed Brackett or the players, you know, saying you want to keep these guys around. I understand it takes two to kind of tango, but at some point you start to build that reputation where, you know, potentially you're saying you want to get these deals done, but more than half of them don't end up that way.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, it's a case of action speaks louder than words. And, you know, I mean, the players have been paid well. There's no denying that, right? Like, there are some players here who've gotten some very nice salaries that they probably wouldn't have gotten elsewhere in the league. And that is a very nice thing to know, I think, if you're a player, especially hitting, you know, unrestricted free agency. But, you know, that's not the only equation that enters into these things. And, you know, what goes on off the ice more and more is becoming important. How, you know, your family's set up, what you can do. And, you know, in fairness, it's been the toughest, strangest season. It's a season none of us could ever have imagined. That's made it hard. But sometimes, like, you know, in the end, words are nice, but what you actually do is what matters. And it's a big time now for, I would say, for ownership to step up and you know, I think show the fans as well. It's not just what the players know, but show the fans as well what it means, you know, what this team means and how this team feels about its players and staff.
PJ, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Take care, guys.